talking now with Dr. Jason Lusk, of course, Oklahoma State University Ag Economics Department. Jason, this whole concept right now of safety of our food, where our food comes from, GMO, no GMO, it seems like we've got so many things out there competing for the attention of the consumer. It's hard to sort these things out as far as what's important for a producer.
You're right. It's a big issue, and in a lot of ways, it's never been more fun time to be in agriculture because people are interested in a lot of these issues. And so I think now is one of the best times for agricultural producers to talk to consumers and tell them why they do the things they do. But you're right. There are no silver bullets. There are no easy answers. People ask hard questions, and I think the best thing you can do is just be honest with people. And you got to be in the conversation. I think that's partly what I encourage a lot of producers to do, is to be in the conversation and to let people know why they make the decisions they do.
When you start thinking about, you know, which of these issues maybe are should be most top of mind in the you know, view of a producer, what is it? In other words, are there one or two more important than others?
I think the GMO labeling issue is a big one, particularly because we've seen a couple of state ballot initiatives, both have failed, California and Washington State, but it's an issue that hasn't gone away and isn't going away. And it's really hard to know what the impacts could be, but it's not impossible to imagine that these sort of developments on that policy front could lead to a world in which it's much harder to produce biotech crops, and that could have a real impact on producers. So that's one I'd put on the top of the watch list. And then I think a lot of the issues in animal agriculture, specifically related to antibiotic use, use of growth promotants or various production practices, whether it's gestation crates or cages, those are all issues that I think are likely to be very contestable in the years to come.
On the GMOs, is the General Mills decision on their Cheerios, how much implication, you know, how much impact, how much weight does that really carry?
Well, you know, if I'm in their shoes, it might have been a good PR move for them. The reality is Cheerios are made of oats primarily. So it was sort of an innocuous decision in a way. I think it was a PR move on their part. And they probably had to change a few ingredients, whether it was sugar or some other things they were using. But, you know, that's the thing that a lot of people have pointed to in this debate is, you know, a lot of the consumers say, oh, just put a label on. It's not that big a deal. But the question is how these retailers will respond. And I think a lot of retailers are scared to death of the consumer. And I think this reaction of General Mills gives you one indication of how retailers will respond. And I think that's, you know, as a university scientist, I think, you know, I don't claim to know what people should do, but I think we can try to give people the best information we have on the safety and the impacts of these products on producers. Let them make the decisions, but at least make sure they're doing it with the best information available.
When you think about, you know, the groups that are really calling for out for some of these things, animal sides, HSUS, on the GMO side, there's just a whole list of groups that you could line up. Are they carrying more weight than they really deserve to carry in this conversation?
Well, I think the GMO issue is one I think that's particularly relevant because a lot of, and this isn't true of all those groups, but certainly there's a subset of those groups that really, I think, are far outside the mainstream in terms of science. And so, you know, they really propagate, I think, a lot of, infactual, non-factual information to the public. And in that sense, yeah, I think the weight of their argument is overstated relative to what the actual science says. And so I think that's an issue in which there is a need for scientists to speak up about what the science says and for the media also. And I think you do see it in places. I mean, the New York Times just ran a great story by Amy Harmon, second story in a row where really, I think, gave biotechnology very fair treatment. So I think you see the more reputable journalists really paying attention and giving better weight to the better science.
I guess maybe that's really my last question. Where do we need to go? How do we get this thing on that scientific discussion without people's, you know, eyes just, you know, going shut and people falling asleep on you?
Well, I think, you know, one tendency, and I'm probably as guilty of this as any, but, you know, sometimes people in agriculture and people that come from that sort of background come off as a little defensive. And I think that can be problematic. And so I think what you want to do is just be open and honest. And I think producers, and I think I see many more of them doing that, explaining why they use biotech crops, explaining that their own family eats the crops that they grow, and pointing to the scientists, you know, and pointing out the fact that these are the mainstream scientists at the best universities, at the National Academies of Science that are. And so I think just making the public aware of the weight of the argument. I'm optimistic that that consumers can be persuaded, because I think the science is on the side of biotechnology in this case.